during this time of the coronavirus and the sheltering and the social distancing, as they say it, two things have come up concerning this whole entire time. Two questions or answers that some may give. One of the questions or answers that people may say is that this is a sign from God for us to get right, that it's the end times. Another thing people will say that it is a punishment for, especially for America, who has gone astray. Is that true? And what does it matter? Is it something that we need to see in a correct way or not? Should we just let people say what they're going to say and ignore it? Especially when it's Christians that are saying this. The name of this Over My Steps is How Should We See These Trying Situations? So it doesn't just fit the coronavirus. This fits any, what we may call, extreme situations that may happen. They're going to exist and they're going to happen. How do we deal with these things? Let's look at it. First of all, we must understand that God speaks to us one main way today. Okay, there's one main way he uses to speak to us. It says in Hebrews 1:1-2, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he has made the universe. Now, the importance of this is when it says he speaks to us through his Son, you have to know, like in John 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's the Word. Okay, it's shown throughout the Word that Christ is the Word. So the main way he speaks to us today is in his Word. Usually you'll get answers directly from him by reading the Bible, by listening to messages from the Bible. You'll have more of your answers answered. Now, that's very important because that's what I'm going to try to do to answer this of how we should see these trying situations. Now, understand this. People tend to want signs concerning what's going on while there are more than enough signs with the times themselves, as Christ shows us. He shows us in Matthew 16, verse 1 through 4, he says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, most of us want this. I've asked this many times in my younger Christian year before I really knew the word of give me a sign. Sometimes I may even in some of the more intense times God ask God for that. But he says something here that answers two things. Okay, let's look at what he says. He replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. In other words, what he's showing us here is that we have the ability to interpret what's already given to us. And what he's saying is the times themselves have the signs built into them. Why aren't we interpreting those? Usually because we don't like the answer. Usually because we want something that fits with the way we see it. It becomes so frustrating because we discourage people and we hurt a lot of people by building our own narrative in instead of using what God has presented us. Now, look what he says about this. It was a little earlier in Matthew 12. Jesus clearly said there will be only one sign given. Matthew 12:39-41, he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign. So he's basically saying this world, this group of people, and it's based on a generation, this is what they want. Look what he says. But none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So he's saying only one sign will be given directly to this generation. Okay, all these other signs we ask for, I'm not going to knock and say if people say they got it. I'm just saying what he says here. It says in verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It's very important because this is one reason why we don't enforce Good Friday, because it would be a problem there. He made very clear that the sign that he's given is 3 days and three nights. If we did the Friday and risen on Sunday, we have a problem. We basically get two nights and maybe 2 days, if that. You know, it depends on when he rose on Sunday. So there's a problem in that. But it's a whole other sermon once again. Okay? And we know he rose the first day of the week. And there's a problem in this. And he says this is the sign he gives. But that's the only sign that he said he's given. And the reason is, like he said, what we read in Matthew 16:1, that the signs are already built into the times. His word will show what those signs are, and I'll show that a little later. But let's make clear what these situations definitely are not. These are a couple of things that that Christians, unfortunately, have been placing on these situations. They did it with 9/11. They do it with any catastrophe that happens. They're doing it with this now. They did it in 2008 with the market crash. I can go down the list where I've heard these same things being given, and I'll see it given to individual places. You know what I mean? We'll talk about those when situations happen that, once again, are extreme. Let's read. First of all, these are what these situations are not. First of all, we tend to incorrectly use this statement from God, which is given to God's people. Very important. You should understand that. And it actually only fits two nations. One of the nations are Israel. I want you to think about who the second nation is, and I'll explain that. But let's read this verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. He says, if my people who are called by my name, that's very important. So he already sets the stage for who he's talking about and who he's talking to. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now I want to be very clear on something here, and I'll give you an understanding of why. We tend to use United States of America, when we go through something, we use this verse. And you'll hear them say lines of, well, we have gone astray from our Christian foundation and our Christian values founded by our founding fathers who were all Christian. And unfortunately, it took some time. As you look through it, that's all untrue. And it's not only untrue, it's dangerously untrue. I understand how we feel about our country. It's not just us. Other countries, they have this feeling they have about it. But I, as a pastor, it's my responsibility to answer this. One big reason, because it's extremely dangerous for you to have this view. Okay? And I'll explain why. In fact, I put the answer there, and I'll explain what James 4:4 is telling us. But let's understand this. If you keep going ahead and giving this honorary godly people to the United States of America, and if you keep stating that at one point it was godly and today we've become ungodly, when people go through history, they're going to pick these times and they're going to react more American and not Christian. You know, we'll throw some things in there like prayer in school and you know, certain things that we used to teach in school. There are some parts of creation they say were taught in school. And they'll say, see, we were godly. Wasn't that great? But there was some wickedness there. Do you understand that? I mean, our history started with wickedness and never ended. There may have been some pieces of it in there. So America was never known as people called by God. And the founders were not all godly. Some of them were deists. Some of them they believed in a higher power, but not necessarily in God. And the foundation of this country was based on truth, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that's so necessary and so important, because sometimes I'll hear Christians dangerously take America and raise it up to the level of God. That's why I'm saying the danger is what James 4:4 says. Get a chance to look at it. It tells us that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God. Now, are you understanding what that's saying? Are you understanding how severe that is? Sometimes our love for our country puts us in a very dangerous place with our Father. Now, am I going to sit here and defend our country, or am I going to defend our Father? I don't know where people think that when he talks about the world, he's excluding America. Do you see the danger in this? And this is why I'm so adamant about this. So this is why I can clearly say, no, I don't think this is about America getting back to where it needs to be, because it never was where it needed to be in the first place. And the second thing that happens is people don't start reaching for godliness. People start reaching for Americanism that they labeled godliness. In other words, a corrupt form. It's not godliness at all. It's a something that leads people astray. You got to get that and understand that, okay? Keep that in mind, because I think today sometimes our patriotism goes puts us in a very dangerous place, and we don't talk about it because we're too busy being friending it. So it's definitely not a punishment and where God's warning us to get back to where we were, because it wasn't even meant for the United States, okay? As we've seen, it was meant for Israel. But look what it is made for. Today, the only nation known as God's people that matters to Christians is the Christian nation. And Christians exist worldwide. The Christian nation isn't just a group of people that happen to exist in the United States of America. No, the Christian nation is everybody around the world. If you're a Christian, you're part of this Christian nation. Look what he says here in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. It says, but you are a chosen people. Did y'all catch that? That's what he said. My people. A royal priesthood. And watch this. A holy nation. We as Christians make up a nation, a people, watch this, belonging to God. He says, my people. Remember what we just read in 2 Chronicles? He says, my people who are called by my name, holy nation, people belonging to God. He says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, y'all catch this? So before we were Christians, we weren't even considered people, but now you are the people of God. Did y'all catch that? My people. Once you had received, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is very important because it keeps me focused just on what God says, not this tainted version that we have allowed through our partnership and friendship with the world. Not realizing how dangerous it is. So we see it's not some punishment to the world. There was a minister who was notorious for saying, and I remember when Haiti had the earthquake, and I remember when Katrina happened in New Orleans. The statement was, oh, you know, they're sinful nations. They allow witchcraft. They allow this. They allow this. And they put this answer out there. That was the reason why this stuff was happening. And if you didn't know any better, you would just listen to him and go, yes, he's right. Unfortunately, when you would hear of tornadoes and hurricanes and things and these tragic things happening in other places that he didn't consider, I'm saying him and others may also consider as ungodly, it was radio silence. You heard nothing, but they just had the disaster. But he's making very clear, no, it had nothing to do with that. So stop making up these things. Okay, what God also wants us to know is shocking situations are nothing more than shocking situations. Do not read into them. Stay spiritually focused. In other words, if I'm not careful, and I know this is during this coronavirus time, Christians are being distracted. Sometimes we can become distracted by, I got to go do something. It make me look more Christian. Or you get some that become lax. Up, the end of the world's coming, did my part, and I'm going to go sit somewhere and just wait. We miss the understanding of, no, this is just a part of this crooked and crazy world we live in. Be Christian. Let's read what it says in Luke 13, 1 to 5. It says, now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now that's a horrible thing. In other words, he killed these people and mixed their blood with sacrifices. You understand that? And Jesus answered, watch what he says. Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? In other words, he's saying, so because they went through this, are they bad? Because New Orleans had this, or because this country had this, or because the United States got more deaths, is it worse, or is it better, or how does it work? And look what he says in verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. The key here is the repentance and perishing. That's the main thing. Hopefully they repented. He gave another one. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. And I remember I had to give the same message because when 9/11, when the towers went down and people just made, you heard so many different messages. And that's such a long time ago and none of those messages came to fruition. In fact, Jesus was supposed to return months later. It hasn't happened. He's coming. But stop basing it on your made up signs. He asked those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? He says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish. His main message in here was just repentance. Stop playing games. Stop living as you have tomorrow promised to you, is what he's saying. Unless you repent, you too will perish. Let's stop reading more into these times. Pray for people. Understand that these things can happen. And if we don't get our acts together, we're in trouble. Okay? Now, sometime, given today's times, or sometimes given signs we should be focused on, has been revealed by God in his word. So I'm saying some of the times, signs that are given by the times, okay, the Bible already revealed to us, okay? And we have to keep that in mind, that we realize that it's already here for us, okay? And if we don't see them, we'll miss those signs, okay? And they're very important to us. And then we'll make up our own signs, which makes it dangerous, okay? So let's look at a couple of them. First of all, he says that godly people living self-centered. Now, this is something that many of us miss because we blended in so much with them, we're missing this thing happening. We see in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, he says, but mark this. Now, he starts off with this warning. Make a mark of this. Make a note of this. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us weren't outside of this time to see this time coming in, because all of us that are listening to this were born into this time. Okay? And this was given. We're deep into this time because this is us. But being into this time, we as Christians should still be focused enough to go, hey, that's speaking of what we're seeing today. And let me make something clear. This message is talking about Christians acting this way. He says there will be terrible times in the last day. People will be. How do I know it's Christians? Well, the way it's going to end, and also the world has already been this way. This is not something, hopefully you don't get the mindset and throw out there and get the wrong understanding, all right, that people will be going in the wrong way and that the world at one point was wholesome and it went downhill. No, the world has always been bad. He's saying, now you're going to see Christians, and that's why it's called a terrible time, now distorting. He says people will be lovers of themselves. Look at all this. It's a very strong self-centeredness. We go to church and we now have services based on us and for us. Lovers of money, that speaks for itself, in which we allow money to rule and we do what we want. Boastful, in which sometimes we're not even boastful in words. We're boastful in how we live, what I drive, what I wear, what I'm doing. I need you to see, look at what I have. Proud. God, I will serve you as long as you don't make me do this. Right? Abusive. And that word abusive, which means blasphemy. Okay? It means me blaspheming or talking bad about in any bad way, especially about God. Okay? So how we put God, just like I was saying about what we were doing with America, our partnership with America was blasphemy. You know what I mean? In which we almost push him or push our country forefront as if we say God did it. Disobedient to their parents. Self-explanatory. Ungrateful. That's another one. We're not thankful. Unholy. We're not living like God. We're not presenting God without love. And this without love is without what's called natural love. Or when we did the sermon on love, it was hystergo love. In other words, it's bad enough we don't have the agape love. We don't even have regular love. And this is what they'll use a lot of times for abortion, which is absolutely right. But you see it in many forms. People could care less about their loved ones that are even their blood loved ones. Unforgiving, self-explanatory. Slanderous, in which we say things about people for the purpose of hurting them. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. We just want to hurt them. Without self-control. So in other words, we are not in any way managing ourselves with the strength God has given us. Brutal, in which we react in a way, you understand that, in a way that we're not careful in what we say and how we react. Not lovers of good. We don't go after things that are truly godly or good. Nope, we're not chasing after that. Treacherous, in which we are more traitors. In other words, we'll give in to God or give in for ourselves and turn away from God in such easy way today. Do you understand that? Rash, we act before we think. Conceited, we think we're better than. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We love God, but if God gets in the way of what pleases me or what I like, I go after what I like. I've had people who even said that. I know what you gave me is in the Bible, but I like. And here's the part that I know. He says, having a form of godliness. The world never has this form. This is us in which we walk around, and I want you to see me as Christian, but watch this, but denying its power. Remember, true belief is my faith in action. My faith in action is me showing that I believe in the power. Do you get this? When I say, God, I trust in you, it will be displayed. That's belief. That's a whole nother sermon. And you get around, you'll hear me say this many times, but that's understanding. Okay? He says, have nothing to do with them. So that's the first one. That's a sign that the times have already given us that we should go, okay, we know we're deep in those times. People living self-centered. Second one he shows us is sound teaching being replaced with desirable messages. In other words, stuff I rather hear over what God is truly saying. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 through 5, he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So he gives us what our ministries have to be and how they have to be. Okay? And he's given this warning. Why? He says, for the time will come. And once again, just like we said about the last passage, this is talking about time that we all were born in. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. He didn't say men cannot. He's saying men will not. It's a choice. Right now, we all have access, and we know the difference between true doctrine and true sound doctrine and when it's not. We have the ability to, but are we doing that, or do we go after desirable messages? In fact, not only do we go after desirable messages, we look for people to preach it. Instead, it says, to suit their own desires. I don't want a minister preaching what the Bible says. I want the minister preaching the Bible to say what I wanted to say. He says, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Most mega churches become mega because they're building more on a prosperity message, a well-being message, a feel-good message. It'll be some message that somewhere in there, you'll get some lesson. They'll sometimes preach what the word is, but a lot of times it's based on me feeling good and getting motivationally taught in me. It makes me feel good about me. It builds me up in me. It makes me feel more precious than what I really am. And that's why it says a great number of teachers say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Like we were just going over the whole American thing. If I'm not careful, you don't hear no Christian going, you know, I really need to check that. We get this real proud feeling about our country, not realizing we just put ourselves in danger by becoming friends of the country. That's why he says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's another sign that the signs already give to us. What people are doing. You see this. Choose and look at what people are choosing. Why did these churches come from? Sometimes if a person really pays attention, you'll go, well, now that whole message wasn't in there. And I'm not saying a lot of these won't preach godly messages at times. Please don't get caught up. It means overall, some people think they're always preaching wrong. No. Remember it says Satan even comes as an angel disguised as an angel of light. They're going to do things to catch your attention. They'll say some truths, but you've got to check everything. And you'll see their whole foundation and the whole entire thing is going to be built on something other than Christ. Also, it shows us false teachers and teachings ignoring the imminent coming of Jesus. It's another sign. 2 Peter 3:3-7 says, first of all, you must understand. So you must get this. He's saying what? That in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. So they're going to be joking, putting it off, kind of saying, look at those other people. And unfortunately, with people already making these bad predictions, and you do have Christians that have done that, it makes people not look at the true predictions. See, we have all Matthew 24, which really breaks it down. We have what it shows in the first part of Revelation, what breaks it down, the signs of what's going to happen, the wars and rumors of war, how people are going to distort the word and not listen to it, so on and so forth. There's so many things that are going to come that we're seeing and that we're seeing now. But we're missing it because the people have distorted it and the people that are coming here blowing it off going, you got time to live, don't worry about it. And watch, it says they're following their own desires. They will say, where is the coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But watch this. It says, but they deliberately forget. It's something they choose to forget instead of really checking God's word. That long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed. and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, but kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Our mindset should always be that could happen tomorrow. You understand that? We should always be ready and focused, not this mindset, well, it's not going to happen in my time, or looking for a sign that you have made up. We put ourselves in a very dangerous spot by not really checking and seeing what does these times really mean. So, how should we be during these shocking times and every other time that are shocking? Like, so how should we be not only in these shocking times, but how should we be, period, is the question we need to ask. First of all, we must constantly adjust our Christian walk. James 4, 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil. Now let's start with the submit yourselves then to God. Submission. Remember, some people, if you mistake submission, and you only usually hear it in the marriage one and not realize the true understanding of submission. Submission is yielding to their role. You understand that? So when it says submit yourselves then to God, it means understand he is God. Okay? Why am I studying the word? To get close and understand God. Hopefully everybody gets this. Okay, I want to really get to know God, right? I need to understand and do what he tells me to do. Why? Because he's God. Very important. But in doing so, I also have to resist the devil. Know how the devil works. Know thine enemy. We did a sermon on that. Please understand that. Know what his traits and the things that he does and resist those. Don't go, well, maybe it's right this time, or maybe he means well, or maybe, no. Resist them, and he will flee from you. Then look what he says here. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So he just showed us something, how this process and this relationship with him work. I have to show God I am coming to you. See, a lot of times we sit around thinking God is chasing us around, like you see some parents doing with their kids. The kids run things. The kids are in complete control, right? But an understanding of a child understanding, no, I got to check with my parent. That's how you raise them to understand, I need to come to my parent. I need my parent. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Why is he saying that? Because there's many times we act like Christians while we're sinning. We're living in sin and trying to also be Christians. That's why he also says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we said earlier, that purity is referencing the understanding of complete God, complete Bible. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. So when he tells me to purify my hearts, make sure my purpose is 100% based on God's word, 100% Bible-based. And that's why he calls them double-minded, because the only way you can be impure is to have some Bible, but then I also do some worldly, and then I do some Bible, and I do some worldly. We try to mix the two. And then you watch this. He says this thing, and it's usually hard for us to grasp, especially when we're not focused on God. He says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Wait a minute. He's telling me to do something that I'm trying to get away from. Exactly. He's telling us to understand the times. Recognize. That's why he says, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. See, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes which makes very clear that the wise people are running to the house of mourning and that the fools run to the house of laughter. In other words, if I'm down here trying to please me and spend time on getting joy for myself, I'm missing it. But the people who are mourning recognize the situation we're in, and we up our game on ministering. Unfortunately, the distraction of coronavirus is we'll go out of our way like we do during Christmas, like we do during certain seasons, in which we go out of our way to do certain things, and then the rest of the year, nothing. Right? You even see the world doing this. It's not just Christians, in which they'll step it up. Really, I'm going to go help my neighbor. And that's a great sign, but why aren't we doing this all the time? This should be something that Christians do all the time. And not do it all the time, do it to represent God. Are we doing it God's way? Right? So when I change my laughter to mourning and my joy to gloom, it lets me understand this is a horrible time. If you go to the hospitals, they know people are dying and you'll see the reaction. That's why they're working the way they're doing and putting everything into it. That's how we should be with the world. What they're seeing in a hospital, especially in New York, when they see people are dying, we should see the whole entire world as New York of, man, I got to do something or people are going to die. But the way that's truly going to work, I have to do verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Not you lifting you up, allow him to lift you up. Too many times we try to, once again, make our own path. We try to make how it's going to be. We try to place things in the way that we think they should go. Instead of me going, okay, God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to be? Okay? And secondly, we must live in God's will. Now, we know, and hopefully everybody knows in Romans 12, where it says, Romans 12:2, where it says, no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? All right? So I'm no longer doing that, and I am now getting renewed, and then I'll be able to understand God's will. Then I can live in what his will is. His will is clearly given to us, especially his universal will in his word. And look what he says here in Ephesians 5:15-17. He says, be very careful then how you live. Too many times we react emotionally on what we think God wants us to do. Peter was notorious for doing that. He would do things and the God would have to set him straight. Christ set him straight multiple times. And what he's trying to show us is, no, stop. Is that okay, what you're doing? I know some people are impulsive, but I need to do something. I really need to do something. And we end up doing something bad, right? Be very careful in how you live. Make sure every step you take, okay, is this what God wants me to do, right? Okay? He says, not as unwise, but as wise. We just got done with the sermon on, you know, wisdom versus fear. A lot of people scared of being fearful react foolishly, not realizing there was no wisdom. Okay? He's saying making the most of every opportunity. He didn't say some opportunity, he says every opportunity. When he says make the most out of it, did I do everything that God made for me to do in every situation? Or am I allowing other things to get in the way? Are we ministering and encouraging during this time and every other time like we're supposed to? Are we making the most based on God out of this situation or not? Are we sulking in our own? I'm tired of being in the house. I'm tired of doing. Are we really taking this opportunity to grow in his word, to know what my plan is? Are we reaching out to people in the right way with the technology that we have? Or are we sitting there going, I don't want to go out? Do you understand this? It says why? Because the days are evil. These times are evil. And then he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. As I just said earlier, Romans 12 lets me understand that. I get the universal one. That means staying in his word. And renewing my mind will let me understand and test the individual things he has in his will for me. And I'm spending and I'm growing in this. Hopefully this time at home, you've really been delving in and growing in God's word. You've been using this as an excuse to truly grow in him, to really be used by him. Please stop looking for some special other mystical sign when he's already given us the answers to the signs we need to stay focused on. Let us make sure that our light doesn't only shine during these situations and times, but they're shining all the time. So when others see us, they see him. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, we thank you, dear God, for the clarity and understanding of your word to give us what we need to do during these situations. So we do ask for continual prayers of people that are struggling in it. We ask for clarity for Christians that are going through it. Help us one another as a body to display you in this, knowing that the main thing the world needs is truly a relationship with you. Help us display you in the right way. Help us to make sure we're walking in the right way and not giving our own narrative, resenting you, dear God. Help us not to get in the way. We love you and we thank you and we ask you for forgiveness for the things that we allow to come into your message, to come into our lives, to cover up our light, dear Lord, to remove the saltiness of what you have given us, to be the salt of the earth. So as we leave out of here today, dear Lord, and as we continue doing what we're supposed to in you, help us to slowly, wisely check with you on every step we make in order to represent you in the right way, in a reverent way. We love you and we thank you and all these blessings we ask in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.